الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله العظيم. Respected and honorable Mu'atakifin, the people that are present, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the sixth year after Hijrah, after the migration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a dream that he and the Sahaba have made Umrah and they have removed the hair from the heads. The dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the Sahaba. He and a group of Sahaba, in the state of Ihram, they proceeded to Makkatul Mukarramah. And on the way in Hudaybiyah, the kuffar, the leaders of Makkatul Mukarramah, stopped Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba from entering Makkatul Mukarramah. There were a lot of discussion that took place between both the parties until they came to an agreement which is called Sulh Hudaybiyah. The peace agreement between the Kuffar of Makkah to Mukarramah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. One of the terms and conditions was, we will not attack you, you will not attack us. And there were various tribes in Makkah to Mukarramah, whichever tribe want to form alliances with any party, they may do so. In Makkah to Mukarramah, there were two small tribes, the tribe of Banu Bakr and the tribe of Banu Khuza'a. The tribe of Banu Bakr, they form alliances with the Kuffar of Makkah. And the tribe of Banu Khuza'a, they form alliances with the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. As time went on, the tribe of Banu Bakr violated the terms and conditions of this peace agreement. They attacked the tribe of Banu Khuza'a in Makkah to Mukarramah. And the Kuffar of Makkah to Mukarramah also took part in that. They attacked the tribe of Banu Khuza'a, killed many people, and in this way, they violated the terms and conditions of that peace treaty. Representatives of the tribe of Banu Khuza'a, they came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara and they asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, presented the case to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are in alliances with y'all. And according to terms and conditions and the norm of that time, we ask you to help us and assist us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam acceded to that request. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to the Kuffar of Makkah, one of the three options you have. You people have assisted the tribe of Banu Bakr in killing the people of tribe of Banu Khuza'a, pay the diyat, pay the blood money. Option number one. Option number two, if you do not want to pay the diyat and the blood money for those that have been killed, then distance yourself from the tribe of Banu Bakr. Have nothing to do with them. We will then deal with them. And third, if you do not want to do that, then the peace agreement between us and you is been cancelled. This was the message that was conveyed to the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. Initially, they didn't care, they didn't bother. But when they realized the consequences of canceling this peace agreement, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, at that time was a Muslim, being the leader of the Kuffar, he rushed and he came to Madinatul Munawwara. His daughter, Ummi Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, is the Mubarak wife of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He first goes to his daughter. And then he goes to various Sahaba. He goes to Abu Bakr, he goes to Umar, he goes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhum, asking everyone, tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I've come here to renew the peace treaty. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not respond to anything. And in this way, Abu Sufyan went to Makkah al-Mukarramah. They were on the edge, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't accede to the request of renewing the peace treaty, and they didn't know what is going to happen. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to march to Makkah al-Mukarramah to attack the kuffar of Makkah al-Mukarramah. But this intention of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this plan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a secret plan. Nobody was supposed to know about it besides the Sahaba. One particular Sahabi, Hazrat Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wrote a small note, a letter, and he divulged the secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to some of the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. There was a woman by the name of Sarah. She was traveling from Medina going to Makkah al-Mukarramah. He gave her this note. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and told him, Ali, go to a place called Rose-e Khakh. There's a woman there. She's got a letter. Go bring that letter and come. Three Sahaba went. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They rushed with their horses and they came to a place, Rose-e Khakh. And where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that the woman is, that exactly the place where that woman was. Traveling to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Three Sahaba, and in particular Ali radiallahu ta'ala, confronted this woman. لَتُخْرِجَنَّ الْكِتَابِ. Take out the letter. Her immediate response was, what letter are you talking about? I got no letter. They searched her. So there was no letter. Ali radiallahu ta'ala threatened her and told to her, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned is true. You got a letter. You better give the letter. Otherwise, لَنُجَرِّدَنَّكَ. We will unclothe you. And when they threatened her, quickly she took a hand. She put it in her back. Like, you know, woman got the long hair. We call it the chotli. So she took that letter. It was a very secret letter. She took the letter and she tied it at the lower part of her hair. Nobody would even suspect that the letter was there. So she put her hand in her back and she took out the letter and gave it to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Zubair, Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought the letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened the letter and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed this letter was from Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu to some of the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, telling them of the secret plan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to launch an attack on Makkah al-Mukarramah. This was a serious violation. Secret of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Hatib. Hatib, what's this? What did you do? Hatib radiallahu ta'ala anhu then explained himself. Say, O Prophet of Allah, all your sahaba, your companions that are here, they have family in Makkah to look after the interests in Makkah. I don't have no family of mine in Makkah Mukarramah, but I've got some of my wife, family, children, some of my interest in Makkah, but there's nobody there to look after my interest there. So I decided to render some favor to the people of Makkah so that through this favor, they would look after my interest in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And I still bring iman in you I bring iman in Allah. There's no reason for me to abandon my iman. This is the only reason I have done this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this explanation from Hatib, he mentioned, Ama innahu qad sadaq. What Hatib is saying is true. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was there. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Da'ni ya Rasulallah aqtulu fa innahu qad khana Allah wa Rasulah. Leave me ya Rasulallah. This person has embezzled. He has violated the trust. He has given your secret away. Let me behead him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, no. إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْرًا. He's a Badri Sahabi. He took part in the battle of Badr. Again Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulallah, but he has violated. He has embezzled in the trust. Again Nabi Sallam told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he's a Badri Sahabi. And إِنَّ اللَّهَ اِتَّلْعَى عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرًا. Almighty Allah Tabaraka focus on Badri Sahaba, and Allah has mentioned regarding them that اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ وَجَبَدْ لَكُمْ الْجَنَّةِ. After taking part in the battle of Badr, that great effort, great sacrifice you have made, whatever you do in life after that, I have forgiven you and you would enter into Jannah. This is an incident that has taken place. What is the a lesson we can learn from this? A great lesson. Often, we come across various situations in our own life where somebody do a lot of good, honest, sincerely do certain good. You can witness his efforts and his sacrifices. He makes one mistake. Our focus is on the negative part, on the mistake, and we forget all the good that the person have done. As though he never did any good. We wiped him out. He made one mistake, honest, sincere mistake. Because of the mistake, your focus is on the mistake, and now you have taken the person out of your radar. Got nothing to do with him. But that's not what we learned from this particular incident. What a great thing. Hatib actually exposed the secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What a great violation. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not look at that, considered the explanation, but Nabi sallam considered the qurbani, the effort, the sacrifice that the sahabi has made, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overlooked it and tolerated it. It's a huge lesson we should learn. And often it happens to us. We come across certain situations among our friends, organizations, societies, that somebody have done good, they made mistake. Then don't only focus on the negative. Don't focus only on the wrong that the person have done. Consider it a human being. Overlook it. But because of the wrong you have done, don't forget the good that the person have done. In Bukhari, in the second volume, in the chapter of Maghazi, in the battle of Badr, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi mentions a very thought-provoking hadith. When the prisoners of the battle of Badr came, now, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala was very hard when it comes to the prisoners of the Battle of Badr. In the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala even mentions, it was not appropriate for a Nabi until he shed blood of such prisoners. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, لَوْكَانَ الْمُطْعِمْ إِبْنِ أَدِي حَيًّا ثُمَّ كَلَّبَنِي فِي هَاُلَىٰ لَتَرَكْتُهُمْ فِي هَاُلَىٰ نَتْنَا لَتَرَكْتُهُمْ. Mut'im ibn Adi, he was in the time of Jahiliyyah. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah al-Mukarramah, he went to Taif to give da'wah. Invite the people to Islam. The people of Taif ill-treated Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he was returning from Taif, coming to Makkah al-Mukarramah, the people of Makkah refused entrance to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into Makkah al-Mukarramah. So Mut'im ibn Adi, when he heard that the kuffar of Makkah refused the entrance to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he then told his sons that stand his various entrance points of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and when Muhammad wishes to enter there, then y'all must give him full support and help him and assist him to enter Makkah al-Mukarramah. That was the ihsan Mut'im ibn Adi made on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, Siyar Nabi then considered the favor that Mut'im ibn Adi, non-Muslim, but the favor that he has done on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Years later, when these prisoners came, and they're supposed to be treating the prisoners the most harsh way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, had Mut'im ibn Adi been alive, and had he spoken to me, interceded to me and told to me that leave these prisoners, because of the ihsan and the favor he made, I would have considered the request and I've left them out. Sharia teaches us the Urdu word lihaz, consideration. Don't just treat people like that, consider the feelings of people. Somebody do ihsan, somebody do good, don't just use the people and then when the time comes you just chuck them away. It's a bad thing, it's a terrible thing to do. Give people the dignity, give people the honor. In one hadith, it is mentioned, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was just before the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last moments of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they happened to pass Masjid al-Nabawi. They saw a group of Ansars, they were crying. So Abu Bakr and Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked them, Ma yubtikum, what is making you people cry? So they mentioned, Naskuru Majlis al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are fully aware what is going to happen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last moment of his life. Should Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pass away, then we are going to be deprived of the majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Benefiting from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are the Ansars. We had a close connection with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallam is to consider us. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had Abbas, they went and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the feelings of the Ansars. Now understand the qurbani the Ansars have made. Sacrifices the Ansars have made. Nabi Kareem sahab was fully cognizant of that and he considered that. In that ill state, being completely weak, Nabi sahab made the courage and he comes to Masjid al-Nabawi. Just to address one issue. Nabi Kareem sahab praised Allah, he glorified Allah. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told to the Sahaba, he told to them that consider the Ansars. Consider them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, فَإِنَّهُمْ عَيْشِي وَعَيْبَتِي فَإِنَّهُمْ كَرْشِي وَعَيْبَتِي. That they are my stomach. Or the correct translation, they are my intestines and they my basket. Generally when a person goes anywhere, there's two things, his stomach and then his basket. Very close they are to me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, قَدْ قَزَوْ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَبَقِيَ الَّذِي لَهُمْ. What was their responsibility, the Ansar, they have done it. And in repaying them, we haven't repaid them completely. Then see what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. فَقْبَلُوا مِن مُحْسِنِهِمْ وَتَجَاوَزُوا عَنْ مُسِيئِهِمْ. You see these Ansars, if they have to do any good, accept it. But should they do any wrong, then in consideration of the good that they have done, qurbani, sacrifice, support, whatever good they have done, in consideration of that, for overlook and tolerate some of the wrong that they have come from them. فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ يَكْثُرُونَ وَالْأَنْثَارِ تَقِلْ. That now when the people are too many. In the beginning stage, there were only the Ansar. There were very few people. Now the Ansar are very, very little. فَإِنَّهُمْ كَالْمِلْحِ كَالْطَعَامِ. And they are just like salt in food. Although they are little, but they are the real taste in the ummah. Sometimes what happens in the beginning stages, when we need to grow, we need to get our footing somewhere, we'll use people. And then once we come to a certain point, we become independent, those people that helped us and assisted us in the beginning stages, we kick them out and we chuck them out. From this, Nabi Kareem taught us a lesson that always consider those people that help you, all those people that assisted you. How many of us in the beginning stages of our lives, we got some help and support from somebody or the other? And then as we go on in life and we progress in life, we forget those people that made ihsan upon us. And that's not what Sharia teaches us. Always consider the feelings of people. See, in the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah Tabaraka speaks about the concept of mut'ah. You know, when a husband and wife get married, and for some reason the marriage did not work out. So according to Shariat, that if the husband stipulated a mehr, and the marriage wasn't consummated, and then the divorce then took place, then the wife is entitled to the complete mehr. And if the mehr was stipulated, marriage was not consummated, she's entitled to nisful mehr. And if there was no mehr stipulated, and the marriage was consummated, in that case the wife is entitled to mehr or misl. Is it that the mehr that generally the woman folk of her family pool particular get? Oh, and the fourth situation is, sometimes a marriage takes place. No mehr has been stipulated. Consummation also did not take place. And for some reason, the both of them didn't gel and needed to separate. In the first three situations, the wife will get her mehr. A son or she'll get mehr and misl. In those three situations, you get, Sharia teaches us, in the Quran Kareem it says, that فَمَتِّعُوهُنْ Give them that mut'a. In three situations, mustahab to give the mut'a. And the fourth situation, where there was no mehr, the marriage took place, but no consummation didn't take place, to give a mut'a ya is wajib. Look at this. What the important consideration in Shariat. Marriage took place. She got a mehr, but Shariat still says, consider that feeling. Because the bond between the husband and wife is not a normal one. It's a very intense feeling. And marriage didn't work out. It causes pain in the heart. But try to consider the feelings of each other and compensate. Give them that mut'ah. Sharia teaches us, consider feelings of people. Don't just throw people away, use them. Okay, the marriage didn't work out. Okay, let her go to her home. Hard luck. We can't manage. It's just one of those things. That's not what the teaching of Sharia is. Look at all these examples. Sharia teaches us how we should consider. There's a very thought-provoking incident. How Nabi considered feelings of people. To the extent that feelings of the kuffar and arch enemies of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the munafiqeen. His son, his name was also Abdullah, he was a sincere sahabi. And there's so much of reference in the Quran Karim pertaining to the enmity of the leader of the munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay. How many times they harmed the Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in cahoot with the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, planning and plotting against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. Abdullah ibn Ubay, when he passed away, his son, also Abdullah, he came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Prophet of Allah, my father passed away. Now you're the munafiq. He wasn't a munafiq outwardly, you'll see him to be a Muslim. So, my father has passed away. In order to shroud him, O Prophet of Allah, give me your kurta. Give me your kurta to shroud him. Make kafan. Now imagine that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his kurta, gives it to a person who is an arch enemy of Islam. Repeatedly his enmity was shown in the various aspects of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi took his kurta and gave it to him. Why? What's the reason for it? In the battle of Badr, the uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, was taken as captive. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed his uncle that he was shivering away. Other prisoners, there was some clothing to give him and it fitted, but there was no garment that was fitting Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abdullah ibn Ubay, he gave a kurta of his to shroud or to cover Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in consideration of that, see, ihsan was made. Nabi didn't forget that ihsan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't only look at the enmity, the animosity of Abdullah ibn Ubay, didn't tell his son, well, your father did this, your father did that, your father did this and your father. And the crimes that they committed by him were serious. Major, major crimes. But Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered the ihsan he made. And he considered that what ihsan in exchange, in lieu of the crime they committed, the crime far outweighed the ihsan. But still to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his kurta and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to him. Even Abdullah requested, O Prophet Allah, you perform the Salatul Janazah for my father. And that's when the ayat of the Quran the Kareem came, that وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرٍ, that don't even stand by the qabr, don't even perform Salatul Janazah. Now Allah Ta'ala put a strop on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so generous. You see from all these examples, what Islam teaches, what Sharia teaches us, that consider people. Don't just use people and chuck people away and you have no feelings for the people. When we show feelings to people, give dignity to people, then you have your own dignity as well. You look at worldly customs, the norms in the world. They consider, you get the loyalty programs. If you are closely linked up to a particular airline, they'll give you voyager points. They consider you. It's a loyalty point they give you. The concept of e-bucks, whether it is permissible or not, is a different issue, but the consideration, they consider the loyalty of the customer. And this is a very, very important aspect which Sharia has taught us. So don't just use people, consider feeding the people, and don't only focus on the negative aspects of people, consider the positive aspects of it. And this is what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala Himself tells us in the Quran Kareem. In Surah Rahman, Hal Jaza'ul Ihsan Illa Al Ihsan. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about His various bounties and damage. In the third ruku, Allah speaks about Jannah for those people who have the khawf for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Various aspects and angles of Jannah Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala discuss. And then, right in the beginning, in the middle, Allah Ta'ala says, Hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan. One explanation of this is that because the person was good, loyal, devoted, dedicated to Almighty Allah, Allah considers that and Allah rewards the person with Jannah. And a lesson we learn from this, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala considers the good the banda make to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah reward the person. Imagine if Allah has to treat us the way how we treat people, consider only the negative things, what will be left of us? What will be left of us? Allah doesn't look at our show weaknesses. Allah doesn't look only at our gunas. Allah looks at what little we do and Allah rewards it according to that. And brothers, this is something we should consider. You see, in our community and society, we'll find so many situations where people make great qurbani. In the field of Dawat and Tabligh, we'll find people make great qurbani, great sacrifices. Unfortunately, what has happened, but that doesn't mean that those people that made their qurbani and their sacrifices, now we completely forget them because of certain differences that have taken place. Differences are there, that's fine. Unfortunately, it's taqdeer, whatever had happened. But there are people who have made sacrifices. On both sides, they have made sacrifices. Now, just because one is on one party, the other one is the other party, for us, we should not just look at the ikhtilaf and the differences, we should look at the great sacrifices on both sides people have made. There was time 20, 30 years ago, the masjids were not abad. There were no madrasas. There were no huffas. There were no ulama. These were the people that went door to door. They established tabligh jamaat. They established istimas. They traveled length and breadth of the world. And they created a haraka. And they got people to come to various madrasas, darulubs, etc. Now, so much of sacrifice they made. There's so many positives that we can look into their lives. Why do we only look at the negative things and say, well, this person has done this and that person has done that. Whatever has happened, but we should focus on the positive aspects of what the people have done. And that's not only with them, with anyone else as well. That if anybody has done anything positive, overlook the negative, focus on the positive. What if people have to treat us the way we have to treat people and only focus on the negative? What will be left of us? What if Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala have to look at only our negatives and not our positives? Then, what would become of us? So Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to consider the qurbani, efforts, sacrifices, focus on the positive aspects of the life of a person. And this is an expression of husn akhlaq. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua, Allahumma hdi li ahsanil akhlaq.
لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت.
Allah, you give us husne akhlaq. One part of husne akhlaq is this, that you consider the positive aspects, positive dimensions of people, not the negative dimension of people. And Allah, you save us from bad akhlaq. Nobody can save us from bad akhlaq but you. And one angle of bad akhlaq is, you only focus on the negative of people, you don't consider the positive. And considering the positive aspect of the people is also a great sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah grant every one of us tawfiq and hidayat. Change our lives, change our attitude. Be good to people. You won't lose anything if you are good. But you lose everything if you are bad. And this is, we should adopt this attitude, that we inject positivity, look, focus on the good of the people, and rather take 10 years to bring some good in someone than in one gathering just breaking somebody's heart. Do not do that. Breaking the heart of people doesn't help. Allah don't break our heart. Allah can make us happy all the time. Why should we not make people happy as well? Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, now, once again, these are the last few nights of the month of Ramadan. Let us engage in zikr. Let us turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Every moment, every second of the month of Ramadan is so valuable. Allah's rahmat is pouring down. Just that, there's parda on our eyes. We can't see the rahmat.